In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I want to emphasize the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize that that wonderful experience leads people to minister and to go into ministry, maybe not as a priest, maybe not as a minister, but as a one called by God, because one experiences the very power of God in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would not be here if God, our Lord Jesus Christ, did not baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I would not be here. I learned through that baptism of the Spirit that God called me to preach, and he made an opportunity to preach as a young man. I preached to my sixth grade kids. And I preached not only to them, but then I would preach to the people in the cenacle. I tell you, I would never have been able to do that without the great baptism of the Holy Spirit. I call you to seek Jesus. Seek Jesus that he would baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with power. I tell you, this is so important if you want to minister. You know, we have lots of ministers that just go as far as John, so God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, that's very important, that John 3:16, it's vital. But I tell you, there's more than John 3:16. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It is better for you that I go away. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. That's this wonderful baptism of the Spirit. It is not a sacrament. It is the experience of Pentecost. And people who have been baptized and confirmed, you pray for the release of that Spirit, the release of the Spirit that was given to you at baptism and confirmation. I tell you, it is a powerful, powerful experience. And I received it in front of the Blessed Sacrament when I wasn't even looking for the baptism of the Spirit. God overwhelmed me with his manifest presence. God overwhelmed me with the glory of God. I didn't even know about the glory of God. But he said to me, "How much more glory can you give me than these wildflowers?" I said, "Much, Lord." And then I said, "You can have my life." And then it happened. The river of God poured into me, and I experienced this water. I never knew there was a river of God. But you see, what it led to was that I would start preaching. I would start teaching from the scriptures, from the Bible. So I tell you, seek the face of Jesus and seek the face of Jesus who gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at Luke 10 right now. And after these things, the Lord appointed also another 72. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he was to arrive. Now, I tell you, there's a Dominican saint, and this saint was going to preach in the different towns, and he would send out those people who had been fasting and praying to prepare the way for him. And you know what happened? He raised people from the dead. He prayed with people and he made them well. God used him. So the 72 are to go before Jesus to prepare the way for the gospel to be received. You know, we in the Antioch movement, we had people praying in the chapel while people were speaking so that the words would be effective. We had people in the chapel praying while people were preaching, and that's what happened. And God, that night, I'll tell you, that night, 1968, the Spirit of God broke out in that place, and there were speaking in tongues, and there were people weeping, and there was God Almighty doing what he wanted to do. And I know that God wants us to prepare the way for the preaching of God. You know, before I come on to speak, you should start praying that I would be inspired, that I would be inspired to speak the word of God. Just like the 72 that they went before Jesus, two by two, to prepare the people for the giving of the gospel. And he said to the 72, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he send laborers into the harvest." Now, you know, I want to tell you that it's important to know that the laborers are few, but we need laborers that have burning hearts, that love Jesus, that love people. We need laborers not just because they have a collar on, but people who are going to give themselves to the Lord in such a way that they are seeking after people so that people would give their lives to Jesus Christ. That's the kind of laborers we need. We don't need just somebody that just has a collar on and celebrates the liturgy. We need people with burning hearts, the lay people as well as priests and deacons, with burning hearts to bring the gospel to people, to bring the word of God to people. We need those kinds of ministers. And, you know, it's not always a reality. It's not always a reality. The reality is that people think that just because one is ordained, that that is enough. No, we need people who have the heart of Jesus, that have the heart of Jesus, that go after the lost. I told you when we were at Boston College the other day, my heart went out to all these young children, oh, they're children, even though they graduated college. And I'm saying, how many of these kids know Jesus? How many of these young people have given their life to Jesus? How many of them are on the road to heaven? And how many of them are on the road to perdition? Of course, I couldn't do anything but pray a little prayer for these people that God would send his spirit upon them. And that's all I could do. And I'm telling you, we need laborers that are in love with Jesus, laborers that will do the work of the Lord, laborers that will preach the word and not be ashamed of Jesus. "Behold," to the 72, "I send you as lambs among wolves." In other words, you are to be meek and mild, but you are to preach. And you are going into territories where there are wolves. And we know that the wolf seeks after the lamb for lamb chops, I tell you. You know, I buy lamb chops for Father Joshi. He likes the lamb chops, and they're very expensive. But I tell you, the wolf, the thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to chew up the lamb and make lamb chops for himself. That's the devil himself. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. "I send you as lambs among wolves." Now, if we are lambs among wolves, who is our protection? The good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." The only protection of the lamb is the good shepherd, and his name is Jesus the Lord. "Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." Why? I want you to rely totally on me. I want your reliance to be totally on the shepherd. That's what I want. Carry no purse, no scrip, and no shoes. You wear sandals, that's fine. "And if, and into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" Whatever house you enter, first you say, "Peace be to this house." And if they receive this, hallelujah, you go into the house. "And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they have." In other words, you're supposed to take part in the family, whatever they have. You're not supposed to say, "Well, I want a T-bone steak tonight." No, if they have rice and beans, what you eat is rice and beans. I know that the gospel should be proclaimed and that you go from house to house and eat whatever the house is serving. Remember that you are not anything but servants of the great Jesus Christ. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they have, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Remove not from house to house. The laborer is worthy of his hire. I tell you, people that speak the gospel, worthy of the hire of being paid. Let me tell you, they couldn't pay me enough. I don't get anything from in season and out of season. My only thing I get is that people write to me saying my life has changed. Isn't that wonderful? I get more than what money can buy. But I tell you, you know, some of the shows that we watch, they're just always talking about what? Always talking about money. The laborer is worthy of his pay. Do not go from house to house. And to what city soever you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And this is what you're supposed to do, 72. Heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. The first thing you're supposed to do is to heal the sick. You pray with them that God would heal them. Heal the sick. That's the first thing. We, as the disciples of the Lord Jesus, are called to heal the sick. Does that mean you don't go to doctors? No, absolutely not. You go to doctors, but you pray. And you pray that God would heal and that healing would happen. Like the man that came to us many years ago, riddled with cancer, and we just laid hands upon this man, and he was completely restored and healed in a second. Heal the sick. Every minister is to pray for the healing of sick people. And that's very important. Heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And well, you know, if the sick get healed, they're going to know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. I love that prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How? On earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom should come and the will of God should be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you witnessed that? No, I haven't. I haven't, but that's how Jesus tells us to pray, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. But into whatever city you enter and they receive you not, go into the streets, therefore, and say, even the very dust of your city that cleaves to my shoes, we wipe off from you. Yet know this, that the kingdom of God is at hand. I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that than that city. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus is the fulfillment of the whole Bible. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation says Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they will be much more, people who reject Jesus would be much more not tolerated than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah had no Savior. They only had Abraham, who wanted that city, those cities to be saved. But we have a Savior. We have a Lord. And He is Jesus Himself. So, you know what? Woe to you, Chorazin. Now, He did many miracles in Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if in Tyre and Sidon had been wrought the mighty miracles that you have seen, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Woe to you, Capernaum! And he's done most of his miracles in Capernaum. You are exalted unto heaven. Thou shalt be thrust down to hell. Why does he curse these cities? Because they want healing. They saw healing, but they did not give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not give their lives to Him. They only wanted to see the fireworks. I'm glad for the fireworks. It's wonderful that people get healed. But let me tell you, it's Jesus that heals. Yes, He uses instruments, but Jesus heals. No one else, but Jesus heals. So I'm telling you, my friends, Jesus cursed these cities that He did most of His work because they did not surrender their lives to Him. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, you shall be thrust down to hell. He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises Him who sent me. That's the Father. You see, if I'm speaking under the anointing of the Spirit and you reject what I'm speaking, you're rejecting the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you everything I say is under the anointing of the Spirit. That's just not real. I'm a human being, I'm telling you. But do not despise the preacher. Do not despise the prophet. Do not despise who God sends to you. You might not even agree with them. You know, people say, I don't like Benny Hinn. Well, you know what? God does. God seems to like Benny Hinn. And you might not like him, but God likes him. I'm not going to despise that man. Doesn't mean that I think he's the best since popcorn, but it does mean that, you know, he does the work of God. You might not believe it, but that's too bad. He does the work of God. I'm not going to despise him, because if I despise him, I despise Jesus who sent him. I just want him to do what he needs to do. And he should not be despising me, because I'm doing the same work that he's doing in a different way, in a very different way. He that hears you hears me. He that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises the Father who sent me. Oh, yes, we do not want to despise Jesus. We do not want to despise Jesus. Why? Because God so loved the world that He sent and gave His only Son. We never want to despise Jesus, because to despise Jesus is to despise the Father who sent Him. And the 72 returned with joy. Why do you think they had joy? Because they laid hands upon the sick and they were healed. They saw people coming out of wheelchairs. I don't know if they had wheelchairs in their day, off pallets, and they were healed. Listen to that. And the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name, in the name of Jesus. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. But yet rejoice not in this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I don't know if you saw on the internet that the Holy Father was praying with some sick people, and he did an exorcism. He prayed over the man, and the devil started to manifest himself. Yes, it's wonderful, this Holy Father Francis. It's wonderful that he goes about praying over people in a crowd. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what the Lord wants him to do? Doesn't want him to stay in his room, wants him to go out and to preach, and wants him to go out and to heal the sick and raise the dead. Yes, even raise the dead. I tell you, we have all called to do that. People say, you know, but I don't know. I'm not like Father Tom. You don't have to be like Father Tom. You know, you don't have to be like me. But you can learn maybe from me, that it's not only for me, it's for all believers to go out and heal the sick. Let me tell you about the anointing. The anointing is that holy presence of God that's on the man of God or the woman of God. When Father Matthew was with me as a seminarian, I would say to him, Matthew, when I'm preaching and the anointing is on me, you take it. Say, Lord, I take the anointing from Father Tom. I said to him, everything I do will not be anointed. I'm a human being. But when you know the anointing is on me, you just take the anointing from me and tell the Lord you want it, that you want it and you take it in faith. I tell you that Father Matthew is doing greater things than I've ever done. He's in the middle of the diocese. I would never be in the middle of the diocese. But he is being used for lots of people. But I tell him, please take rest, because if you burn yourself out, no one's going to help you. You might ask me how I know that, because I've lived it. I've lived it, and I'm still living it. When you burn yourself out, people cannot make you better. You cannot get better on your own. You have to wait. You need medicine. You need this. You need that. You need prayer. Listen, we want to have the anointing, but we have to know that the anointing comes on people that are broken and people that are needy and poor. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Our names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus, our names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our names are written in heaven. In the book of life. Isn't that wonderful? In the book of life. I believe it. Our names are written in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not only thank you for the healings of people, but thank you that our names are truly written in heaven. In heaven. In the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and the prudent, and you have revealed them to the little ones. Yea, Father, for so it was, seem good in your sight. I thank you, Father, he's saying, that you've revealed to little people what you held from the scholars. Now, every scholar can be a little person, too. You know, a little person knows how much they need Jesus. You could have 9 doctor's degrees and be a little person, knowing that you need Jesus, that he's your life, that he's your light, that he's your Lord, that he's the one you need, and you are broken like the rest of humanity. Yes, broken like the rest of humanity. Then he says, all things are delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. The Son of God reveals the Father, and the Father reveals the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, reveals the Father. No one can come to me unless the Father draw him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Son, Jesus Christ, reveals the Father. The Father, in the power of the Spirit, reveals the Son to us. Then it says, all things are delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. And turning to his disciples, he said, blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. For I say that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. I tell you, blessed are your eyes if you have seen Jesus through faith. Blessed are your ears if you have heard his word. Many prophets and kings, Moses, desired to see Jesus, but he didn't see Jesus until after he died. But we have Jesus. We can see Jesus in faith, in faith, in faith. We can see Jesus in faith. And we can hear Jesus in faith as we read the Word of God. I'm telling you, many prophets and kings desired to see what we see and to hear what we hear and never heard it. Father, in the name of Jesus, reveal your Son to your people. Reveal Jesus Christ to your people. Father, reveal Jesus Christ to the Jewish people who listen to me. Let the anointing of the Spirit come upon your Jewish people, for the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Reveal your Son, Jesus, Lord, to your Jewish people. Reveal your Son, Jesus, Lord, to the Catholic people. Reveal Jesus Christ. That's all I can pray. And Father, reveal your blessed Son who gave his life for us, who bled for us, who was buried and who rose from the dead. Reveal him because he is beautiful. He is beautiful. He is beautiful. Yes, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his touch has made me whole. My voice is gone today, but you know what? Jesus is beautiful. Jesus is wonderful. Father, reveal Jesus to your people today. Reveal Jesus by your holy presence. I thank you for listening. We need $10,000 to pay April's bills, so do the best you can. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We need $10,000 to pay all our bills for April. So our mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time. This time is repeated on WROL many times at 6:30 in the evening, Monday through Friday on WROL. I'm on WEZE also at 11:15 in the morning, 9:45 in the evening, and 3 in the morning. If you need something happening in your roof, this is the number, 617-846-0076, 617-846-0076. My roof is leaking. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.